You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Screen Heroes, your film and TV podcast from the Heroes Podcast Network. I am Derek, one of your regular hosts, and I have my two lovely hosts with me, Ryan.
Hi.
And Ray.
What's up?
And we are here this week to talk about The Big Bad Mouse, or Disney, as some like to call it, as well as the most recent entertainment news. So guys, before we kick things off, just a quick little announcement or two. We have a brand new forum on Facebook. If you want to talk film and TV with us, you can go out to facebook.com/groups/screenheroes, and you can join our group. There's polls out there, and we'll talk about one of those actually in our news segment here, and you can talk about all that
Derek
kind of cool
stuff.
Derek
posts topless pictures in there too sometimes.
I don't. So. Not, at least not topless photos of me. Like if there's Henry Cavill or Chris Pratt, I'm sure those will pop up.
Don't worry, I'm going to Photoshop his face on all of them.
Fair enough.
That's your Screen Heroes guarantee.
That's the Screen Heroes guarantee. That's a thing we have now.
Once we hit 1,000 members, that's what I'll do. I'll start Photoshopping Derek's face onto everything.
Okay, only 942 more, I think. So yeah, come and join us out there. If you're not on Facebook for any reason, you can always follow us on Twitter at Screen Heroes Pod. So come talk to us out there. All right, so let's kick things off with news. We missed a week because somebody, me, had a migraine and could not record. So we are going to cover the behind-the-scenes Batman photos that came out a couple of weeks ago that showed off really our first real look at what Robert Pattinson's Batman suit is going to
look
like.
But not really our real first look because it was a stunt suit.
Right.
And yeah.
So, okay, Ryan, maybe you should kind of maybe explain to people why that's significant.
Well, because usually this particular suit was being worn by somebody who was riding a motorcycle. So beyond whatever the Batman costume is, he also had to have enough protective gear to keep him from getting injured if something happened. And there is a video of him crashing the motorcycle. Mm-hmm. So that was good. But people were complaining about the cowl like looking bloated and big. And that's probably because there's a full motorcycle helmet underneath that cowl,
some kind of shell at least,
and
right?
the things might not fit right on the suit because there's all protective gear underneath, because the actual bat suit costume is not protective, surprising. No. But yeah, there's an actual motorcycle suit and everything, I'm sure, underneath there, and so yeah, things don't look like they're gonna look in the final product.
Even if they did, though, I think it looks pretty good. Like, I'm looking through a couple of shots that we have on our Instagram at Heroes Podcasts, and like, I don't know. I think the cowl looks fine to me.
I mean, I can see what people are talking about. I like the shape and design of it, but it does like look like it's bloated off the side of his head. Like his head is, yeah, looks like a big light bulb on top.
I mean, so did
that
Christian
particular
Bales, though.
Well, that was a little different. This particular angle, I think, is a little more flattering, but there's a couple of them where it's like straight on, and it looks like you can see it kind of angle bowl out from the side of his head. But the goggles are cool. It's unknown whether those are actually a part of the cowl or if that's just for the motorcycle riding. Likely it's just for the motorcycle riding.
Right. And that specific cowl design could also be just for the motorcycle riding.
Absolutely.
Like head protection, so.
Well, what do you guys think of the rest of the suit? Like, we got a good look at the bat symbol. He's got some little, like, Black Widow things on his arm.
I think it's fine. Like, I'm just waiting for, you know, more stuff to come out. They've been filming for, what, 2 weeks now? It's
not long, yeah.
Yeah, so more stuff will come out, and it'll be a lot of fun. We'll see a ton of people on set. But
I like what I've seen so far, but I'm trying to hold off my full judgment until I actually see an official something still or
right
video other than that weird Red Room one they leaked.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's a cool idea. There's in the Bat groups, there's a lot of controversy, the Batman groups on Facebook. I mean, and even in like the RPF and any of the costuming groups, it's constantly, you know, this is the worst bat suit ever. How could they go from Batfleck to this? What, does he shimmer in the daylight? It's like, guys, get over that, okay?
Man. Come on, that dude has been in tons of things since then.
And he's said how much he hated doing those movies.
Right. They were paychecks, man. We've
all
done
big
stuff
paychecks,
for paychecks
probably too.
Well, and it was a long time ago.
Over 10 years since the last one.
Right? Like, I mean, I'll be the first one to not like those movies, but that doesn't mean those actors can't do good stuff outside of that.
Right.
Right.
And I think he's proven that he can.
I mean, I saw Sharkboy and Lava Girl, and I thought Taylor Lautner was just wonderful. Wasn't he in that? I don't know.
I didn't see that one.
No, I didn't either. I was being sarcastic. Yeah. But
right.
It's not in my Netflix queue right now.
You know, truth be told, I actually am really enjoying the Suicide Squad set photos as well. They've been pretty fun. And I'm not quite sure I'm digging Margot Robbie's complete change of look, but it's more true
it's like
to the
her
comics.
Style completely changes, like her taste completely changes in every single movie that she's in, and it's a little weird.
I can make the jump from Suicide Squad to Birds of Prey, but this one, she's got long hair, pigtails again.
It's and they're different colors.
Black,
it's black
and
red, right?
This time, and she's wearing like this tutu dress. And that seems completely opposite from what she has been wearing. So just curious how they connected, but everybody on set is like always smiling and having a good time. So just looks like a fun set.
Have you been looking at those, Derek?
I have no idea what
oh, really?
You guys are talking about.
Okay, there's a lot. I didn't know you if you'd want me to share them or not, because they're kind of spoilery.
Okay, maybe that's why
not
I missed
terribly,
them then.
But yeah.
No, I did not see those. And I think it's part of the problem of having now three very different directors involved in the live action Harlequins, and this movie being a sequel that's ignoring the first film, but it's not a reboot. And so they stylistically want it to be different, but also have it be the same version of the character. And I'm not saying that's never been done before, but that is a weird place to be. You know, whereas like you look at the MCU and yeah, different people have, directed Captain America and Tony Stark, but at least they were all kind of like the same version of that character tonally, like on purpose, like there was an arc involved, and this is more chaotic.
Yeah.
And not like planned chaotic either, but.
Right.
I don't know.
The set photos have made me a little more excited for the movie. I mean,
just look good.
I've talked about on here that I'm a John Cena fan, even though everybody else seems to hate him. I think he's hilarious.
No, I think he's really funny.
I don't hate him at all.
Oh, okay.
No,
well, everybody.
The only movie off the top of my head that I've seen him in is Bumblebee, and I thought he was fine.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not true. He was in Sisters.
Oh, yeah. He was funny in that. I forgot about that.
I loved him in Blockers, and he's been in a couple other movies, too. But I think he has a lot of potential, same potential like Dave Bautista had. The huge guy that's right. Kind of not, he doesn't act like a guy that's just massive.
Right.
But the things he can do with his face, I think, are a little bit, they're more like Jim Carrey than Dave Bautista can do. And so, I'm excited to see him in a James Gunn movie. I think that he'll really push those limits like he did with Bautista. And
same.
I'm excited. And the characters are all like, really far down the list, like not D grade, not E grade. I mean, they're like way down there.
Yeah, there's like Blackguard and Mongol
and Polka
and
Dot
Savant
Man.
And,
yeah, I mean, a lot of these characters I
Rat
didn't know
Catcher,
existed.
Like,
you know they're dying. Yeah, like a lot of them.
Except Idris Elba's character is going to live. I'm
Margot
sure.
Margot Robbie, Captain Boomerang, Idris Elba's character, yeah. And maybe Rick Flag again.
No, he dies.
Oh, thank God.
Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he dies in like the first act because he hasn't been in any of the set photos past like, I don't know, early on.
Viola Davis will make it out.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, Rick Flag kind of gets the short end of the stick here because like his entire job is to explain to the audience what's going on. And so he doesn't have any opportunity to do anything interesting
at
all.
Her sword traps the souls of the men she kills.
Like, that's kind of the downside of introducing a ton of characters in a movie like this that people don't already know. Because you have to kind of explain, like, why is her sword significant?
But that's great for James Gunn because he did the same thing in Guardians of the Galaxy successfully. So
I think
Kathy Yan did a better job in Birds of Prey with it than Suicide Squad did.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think that's and
she
and
had
James
less
Gunn's
characters and so did James Gunn, but still both ways they did it was more successful.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean the first Suicide Squad, one of the few positive aspects of it was kind of the way they had like those introductory screens for some of the characters.
I didn't like that.
You didn't like that? I thought that worked, but it didn't give
I
enough.
I liked the graphics that were with it, because I still really like the neon color motif that they were going for. It just, you know, the rest of the film didn't reflect the cool and unique take that the posters had, that the promo material had.
That's fair. All right, so as we're kind of on this thread of talking superhero stuff for a minute, there have been these wild rumors, and I'm sure there's really nothing that backs these at all, that Henry Cavill may play Wolverine. And
I think that's just like fan wishes.
In Captain Marvel 2, right. Though, it was oddly specific.
It was really specific.
And the rumors are that Rogue will be in it, because in the 90s, Captain Marvel and Rogue had a very intense battle. And I won't spoil it for you, even though it's 30 years old. But
they both
does it have to do with Rogue being able to fly afterwards?
Yes,
it does. Okay.
That's where she
and
got
her
that.
Permanent strength.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So we did a poll.
She kills her.
That's probably not going to happen, I imagine.
I doubt it, yeah. We did a poll on our new Screen Heroes forum on Facebook about whether or not people thought Henry Cavill would make a good Wolverine slash Logan
so
character.
It.
And yeah, I mean, now, it was kind of a tight race at the end of the day, but no was the leading choice, with the second choice being maybe and then yes. So Ray and I, you and I both voted yes. Why do you think he is a good fit?
Because he's Henry Cavill and I love him. No. Okay, so first and foremost, he's a great actor. Every single role I've seen him do, from the Tudors, the Man from U.N.C.L.E., the Superman, like he to Geralt, he embodies the characters. He kind of disappears into them, and I just...
You didn't like him in Mission Impossible Fallout?
I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
So I can't say that.
Gotcha.
But...
His mustache was fabulous.
Yeah, he looked amazing.
It's like, on the list, though, because she got me the Mission Impossible movie collection.
Oh, weird. It's for free on Amazon Prime. So, and Hulu,
yeah, but,
I think.
I mean, if you look behind me here, you'll see a bit of a physical collection. So
I see that.
When I watched
like
the trailer and they lined up his jabs to the music, yeah, like I cool. could get tingly
yeah,
every time.
Yeah,
like
he has to
like,
cock his arms.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
a shotgun.
Well,
awesome.
He looks like one of those old-timey boxers that were just in the middle of a New York street.
If you watch the Black Widow trailer, the dude from Stranger, David Harbour, does the same things. Yeah,
oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a
real
it.
Quick moment, but yeah, he does the same thing. I feel like that's going to be the new thing.
Just because Henry Cavill did
yeah,
it really
and he
well.
Looked really cool
Anytime
doing it.
Anytime in a trailer music lines up to something like that, I lose my mind. Clash of the Titans synced a...
The new one?
No. Well, yes.
Okay. I was going to say, you saw the trailer for the original?
No.
Wow, that's impressive.
It's not around then.
I'm sure it's on the DVD.
Yeah.
Clash of the Titans had one. They made this giant scorpion monster line up to The Bird and the Worm by The Used. And I was just like, I went to see that movie because of that.
And
I was like, I'm
at the end.
Sad. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Not anyway. Because the movie was sad, but because it was terrible.
It was a horrible
because
movie.
Because it was terrible.
Yeah.
How do you get rid of the owl? The owl's amazing.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah, Henry Cavill, I want to see him continue to play a superhero. He is my Superman. I know not everybody feels that way, and I'm okay with that. But that may not be the case, and I'm bummed about it, but Wolverine would be a fun role. Also, I think he's just completely different from Hugh Jackman. I don't think he would be the exact same, which is what you need. Hugh Jackman is Wolverine at this point, and
you need to differentiate.
Yes.
I think that's fair. Ryan, now what's your opinion on Henry Cavill?
I didn't see this poll because for some reason I'm not seeing anything in this group. I need to check my settings for it, but
it's okay.
It's fine.
I mean, I'm kind of like basically the same thing as Rachel. I'm a huge Henry Cavill fan. I think that DC just fucked him over big time, and it's yeah. really disappointing because I never really was a big Superman fan, but he made me feel more connected to the character, and you don't see, you know, the Boy Scout necessarily. You see a person that's flawed and trying their best, and it humanized it a lot more than maybe some of the previous incarnations. But I want to see him go to a franchise where he's going to be appreciated and get more work when he does a good job, you know, and I think The Witcher is a good start of that.
Same here.
But I also worry a little bit that it's just going to be Geralt also. He's going to do the same voice, and like it's just going to be Geralt with mutton chops instead of a white wig. You know what I mean? The main complaint I hear online is that everybody says he's too tall, but also Hugh Jackman is like 6'2", isn't he?
So Hugh Jackman's a full inch taller than Henry Cavill.
Which is very stupid.
So I do understand the, well, just because Hugh Jackman was tall and he did a good job doesn't mean we shouldn't try and find someone who fits more of the comic book physicality of that character, of him being a smaller guy. But
then why should we find anybody of any other race to play the character or any other anything? You know what I mean? Like, why change any character ever?
I mean, you find the actor that's good for the role. Find the best actor. Right?
I don't think the height is really consistent in the comic books. And if fanboys want to get all up in arms about that, they can at me. Because it's ridiculous. Like, he'll come up to Hulk's chin in one panel and then be at his waist in another, and it's the same.
Doesn't Hulk grow though, the angrier he gets?
He's supposed to get bigger, he's not supposed to get taller.
I thought he got taller too.
Yeah, he's
but
supposed to get, like, wider and more
probably
muscular.
Depends on the writer.
That's well, true, yeah. Too. But in the comics they say that he's 5'10", and while that's an average size for an American man, it's not really
is it
for
average
Hollywood.
Size for Canadian man?
I don't know.
Well, even like 5'10 is not that, like, yes, so that's obviously shorter than the 6'3 that Henry Cavill is, but we're only talking like 5
inches. Is he 6'3?
Yeah.
Wow.
But we're only talking like 5 inches here. It's not like, you know, Wolverine's supposed to be 5 foot even and we're giving him a 6'4 person, you know, or something like that. So I don't know. Hugh Jackman did an incredible job in that role, especially, you know, in Logan and things of that nature. So I don't know why this would be a problem. Mm-hmm. I want someone who's got the physicality for it, and Henry Cavill certainly does.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, he's basically going to be eating chicken the rest of his life. Like, he's getting cast for roles where he just has to be huge all the time.
But I do like your point, Ryan, that, like, I just want to see him get a franchise role that's handled well, you know, because it didn't really matter how good or not he was in the DC universe. That was irrelevant to whether or not he got to continue.
But he's optioned, you know, for another movie. They just have not
pulled the trigger. Yeah, they're waiting for his contract to expire, I guess.
And look, I mean, if they change their minds and they surprise all of us and they bring him back, great. I'm not going to complain, right? But I would just also be very surprised at this point.
Do you remember, was it last year or 2 years ago, when there was like all those rumors about him leaving DC and quitting DC and all that stuff?
And all he did was post a... like doll.
Yeah. And it was like obviously his publicist trying to get him to get DC to make a move or something. I'm wondering if this whole rumor, because it's fairly unsubstantiated,
yeah,
is also something by his publicist to try and get DC to do something or judge fan interest in getting him to Marvel. You know
That'd
what I mean?
Be funny.
The whole thing is just to try and get somebody to do something with him.
It is so hard to tell these days, right? Like, we talk about the Sonic redesign, yeah, and whether or not that was already planned. Like a planned publicity stunt or not. And at this point, I guess it doesn't matter. The movie's a massive success and everybody loves it. So either way, it worked. But, you know, how do you know these days if it's BS or not?
Mm-hmm. If the actor's agent is starting a rumor so that they can try and get their guy work.
Well, he would work for quite a few characters, yeah, in Marvel, you know, both Avengers.
But he has a typical superhero physique. And totally. So, yeah, you name almost any hero and chances are he could probably do something.
I think it would be absolutely hilarious if he ended up playing Sentry, who is basically Superman, just blonde.
Yeah.
That's it. He's just blonde.
Well, that's the thing. Like, his facial features, like, yeah, he's got the physical build of a superhero, but his facial features just kind of fit a Superman-esque character, a Captain America-esque character, someone who's supposed to be that, like, very
he could have
chiseled,
done Captain America,
right?
I mean, that's what I mean. Anybody that's supposed to look like the superhero in your mind, we think superhero,
it's Henry Cavill.
Yeah, he could do it
totally. All right, so let's move on here a little bit to some other stuff. So we have two other little pieces of news I wanted to talk about before we move on to our main topic. The first is Little Shop of Horrors. So they're talking about making a new Little Shop of Horrors film.
Yeah.
And there's been some, you know, rumors about what the casting might be for that and the tone of it. What do you guys want to see? Because, I mean, we're all fans of the musical version with Rick Moranis, right?
Henson puppets.
I'm sorry?
What do you all want to see?
I want
Henson
a
puppets.
Non-CG
Audrey. Too.
Audrey.
I don't think that's a huge stretch now. Like, a few years ago, I would have said no way they'll make it CGI. But now with the success of The Mandalorian using a puppet Baby Yoda and Netflix's The Dark Crystal using...
That's not a success.
What?
The Dark Crystal, I mean, it was phenomenal, but they haven't even renewed a season 2, so it's obviously not that big of a success.
Well, I meant just from, like, a visual standpoint, like, it worked. It looked really good. Okay. You know, like people are using practical effects more now in prominent places than they were, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, which is kind of surprising in a good way. And so I think if they made, like, this is the best shot of having that.
I mean, and when you look, I watch the original not that often compared to some people, but maybe once a year.
Yeah.
And I mean, that Audrey 2 puppet still holds up really, really well, better than a lot of movies that came out 10 or 20 years later. And it's incredible to watch. The way that they did the, you know, had Rick Moranis moving really slow so that they could speed it up and make the mouth seem like it's moving really fast. All the camera tricks they used to make that thing work. I mean, that's what I want. And I, ultimately, I don't want him to make another one. That's my ultimate want. But if they're going to do it, then yes.
I think it's a... sorry. I think it's a very interesting play. So I would love it if it had like a Broadway resurgence, or even if they did the Broadway live thing.
I'd be okay with seeing it live for sure. I just don't know that we need another movie when the first one was... incredible. The musical was incredible.
I agree. What else are you going to bring to it? Frank Oz really made that entire thing beautiful and wonderful. So if there is something new to it, and this talent they are rumored to have is like Chris Evans mm-hmm. and Lady Gaga that they're looking for, you know, they're huge up there.
I didn't hear the Lady Gaga thing, but that would be crazy.
Both of them are really talented. But
can Chris Evans sing?
Yes, he can.
That was my question. I haven't seen him in anything.
Not another teen movie. He sang.
Did he sing in that?
He did.
Oh, I heard him. I remember the one song they sang when she was on the football field. But they it wasn't like musical.
No, they had the musical number.
Did they?
Right before prom, and he sang. So
okay.
So here would be the question then. If you bring in Chris Evans, do you basically have to do to him what they did in the first Avenger and like shrink him down to make him believable as kind of the...
No, he's not playing...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's playing the dentist.
He's playing the dentist.
Oh, well, that's a great casting choice. That's great. Yeah. Okay, my bad. Man, that would be awesome. He could kind of channel his character from Scott Pilgrim a little bit.
Well, yeah, every movie other than his Captain America roles, he's basically been a huge jerk. So, and maybe Snowpiercer, I guess he wasn't a jerk.
Well,
he
eats babies in that one.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's not happy about it. So.
But, I mean, that's his wheelhouse, right? When he was Johnny Storm, he basically just needs to be Johnny Storm as a dentist. Different career choice.
Well, we say in his wheelhouse, but I mean, he's been capped for almost a decade, so
but he was a jerk in Knives Out, and that was received really well. Fair. So, yeah.
I am still hoping that Bill Murray plays the patient who's really into the
same role.
Yeah,
God, that would be so wonderful. Like,
that's the only thing that gets brought back.
That would be great. I think that would be really wonderful.
But anyway, yeah, if you're not going to bring anything new to it, then just do it on Broadway, because I would totally pay to see that.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And it's, I mean, the musical version of it is based on like a stage performance of the film.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, so that it's already kind of set up to do that.
So well, it's been on Broadway multiple times before. If you just want a revival, then have a revival.
Yeah. But I think the big thing now is just if you can get in a Chris Evans and a Lady Gaga to lead your movie, it's going to make a fortune. Well, right?
Neither of them are confirmed. They're still just rumors.
Yeah. When you watch the original, I mean, it's just so many people that are so talented involved in that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they could get... I mean, Chris Evans and Lady Gaga is certainly a very good start.
Right.
But Taron Egerton was one I heard for Seymour. And I'm like, I don't really see that, but I don't know. I just don't think he has the same talent that Rick Moranis had back then.
After his performance as Elton, I think he could pull it off. He's not the first person that would come to mind.
Vocals-wise, I think that's great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't believe him as a nerd. For the past, like, 6 years, they've been selling him as this action hero to
right.
us.
And... Well, but in Elton, he has to kind of play a bit of...
I agree. He wasn't... You know, this macho man, but...
So I think he has it in him. He just he's gotten some of these action roles. Mm-hmm. But just like, you know, Chris Evans was a jerk for most of his roles and he gets to be Cap and was wonderful. I think Taron could do this really well. And he does have the voice for it, which
is
kind of key.
There is a huge height difference between Lady Gaga and Taron Egerton. Mm. So it would be really funny because, you know...
Wasn't Audrey taller than Rick Moranis?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, that works. I think that would work out pretty well. That would definitely not turn me off.
I just don't think it's the same level of talent that we saw in the original. And maybe in 20 years we'll be looking at it going, man, Taron Egerton, he wasn't even a big star yet, and you know, whatever else.
I mean, but Rick Moranis wasn't really either. He wasn't his at peak all. Was the 90s. You know, before that in the 70s and 80s, he did some really cool work. But
well, even Bill Murray was not like super mm-hmm. well known at that mm-hmm. point. Steve Martin was
the biggest
better.
Yeah. pull there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. It's just tough. I love the original. Well, the original musical
was
so much.
Super surprising. It just came out of nowhere. It was amazing. It was irreverent and whimsical and fun, and it was self-aware.
Yeah.
Which I love when musicals are self-aware, because it is incredibly silly that people just out of nowhere sing. So, and all yeah. the talent was really surprising. You know, we didn't expect any of that.
True.
So That's fair. I think that movie, it's just really special. It was, you know, lightning in a bottle.
Agreed. So we don't need to remake it. That's my thought.
It's like Back to the Future.
It is like Back to the
Future.
You can
keep going back to it, so why make a new one? I totally am on board for reboots that are just completely unwatchable but had a good idea at the core. This one's not like that.
Well, and It's certainly not like that. And Back to the Future is another good example of just something like, how do you improve it? Like, maybe you have better special effects now in some of those scenes in the second film, but...
Well, the difference is that Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale for Back to the Future have said that over their dead bodies there will be a remake, right. And they own the property, so...
Yeah.
Literally, when they die, that's going to be the first thing somebody pitches, I guarantee you.
They're always really gruff with it, too. They're like, you don't sell your children into prostitution.
Right, exactly. Yeah. They make it to this huge
thing. They're very blunt.
Well, so Tom Holland has said that, like, there had been talks, but he doesn't think it's a good idea either. And so, like, when your lead, when the actor you want to be your lead is like, this movie doesn't need to be remade, maybe slow things down.
I'm pretty sure I read an article that said Robert Zemeckis replied to that and said there have not been any talks, and he's not sure. Maybe Tom Holland has talked to, like, a friend about it, but...
Well, so just because Zemeckis owns the rights doesn't mean that other companies can't have preliminary conversations before they pitch him an idea.
Right. I absolutely believe that people have been pitching him a remake since, like, the early 2000s.
But if he said he's never going to do it, then why even bother?
And I bet Tom Holland's getting a lot of questions because of that deep fake video.
Oh, totally. So yeah, he said that was a big reason why.
I bet
why.
Nobody's, like, approached him to actually play Marty McFly.
But at the end of the day, people love to beat a dead horse, and they imagine if they ask him enough times with different actors every time, that at some point Zemeckis will just get fed up and be like, fine, right? Now, I hope that's not ever going
to
happen.
I hope he stays true to his word.
Right, but that's where
we are. It'll happen when Half-Life 3 happens.
Well, there is a new Half-Life game coming out, so...
There you go.
It's just not Half-Life 3.
It's a little different. It's like the deep fake of Back to the Future.
Right, exactly.
It's adjacent. All right, so last news topic before we take a break here is... Planet of the Apes. So they had the new trilogy, of course, with Andy Serkis playing Caesar, and War of the Planet of the Apes was the third and final one in that part of the story. But they're talking about doing more. Now, they have said it's not a reboot, so they're not erasing everything. It would be a continuation. And I have some very strong opinions about that, because I think War for Planet of the Apes is absolutely phenomenal, and Andy Serkis was amazing and deserves far more credit than he has ever given from the Oscars and things.
Yeah, first
like
and
that.
Foremost, he should have gotten an Oscar for that.
At least a nomination. Yeah. I mean, it was an incredible performance, but you know, anyway, I don't know what I'd want to see from another film unless it's going to bridge the gap between the originals and these new ones, which are supposed to exist in the same timeline. Do you guys have any opinions?
That's it right there. If it's not going to be in between them, then you're just remaking the originals, right? So why do that? I get that the first one of the originals is really the only actual good one, and the others are quite silly, but they're fun silly. You know, that's what 1950s, 60s sci-fi was. It was silly. And this last trilogy, in my opinion, is a pretty perfect trilogy from start to finish. It's not my favorite movies in the world, but just they're entertaining, they're provocative, they're intelligent, and Andy Serkis kills it. So I don't think Disney's going to like screw up what's already happened. Like, that's not going to ruin anything. Disney got a new IP. They want to cash in on it. I totally understand that too. But I think the best way to do it is you bridge the gap and you hire Andy Serkis as the director.
That would definitely make me more interested if he was involved in some capacity like that. Ryan?
I don't have strong opinions. I'm not a big Planet of the Apes fan. I've seen the originals when I was like 8. And I think the only one of the newer ones that I've seen was the didn't Tim Burton do one?
Oh, a long time ago with Mark Wahlberg.
Yes, that's the only one I've seen of the newer ones. I haven't seen any of the newest trilogy that you guys are talking about. So I don't have a real strong opinion on it.
That's fair. I don't want too much more filler. I feel like they really set up the basis for how the primates all take over and create a civilization. I don't know that I necessarily need to see them build the buildings that they end up living in, you know? But if they wanted to bring in Andy Serkis and remake the original with a updated theme and tone to it with better special effects, knowing that they wanted to kind of continue onward and ignore the silliness of the originals, but had somebody like Andy Serkis involved, who I think you need for this type of franchise, that would keep me interested. Otherwise, I feel like you ended it on the best possible note already with War. I don't know how you top that in the next one, because the big twist in the original film, most people already know it. You know, it's been parodied a ton of times, so I don't know that you can't really get that shock factor from too many people.
It's really the only good thing Charlton Heston did. So.
All right, well, then we will move on. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will be talking about Disney, the big bad mouse, and how Disney has kind of become the powerhouse that it is in the entertainment market.
So I get a Kit Kat? Because we're taking a break.
If you brought some, you can have them. We'll be right back.
Recently, on the Heroes Podcast Network, Echo Station.
Well, what's the main what's the main planet that Endor, the forest moon of Endor? It's a moon. So it's there's a major planet, obviously, that it...
Is the forest moon of Endor? Is Endor the actual planet, then?
See, isn't that confusing? Yes. Is it the forest moon of the planet Endor, or is it the forest moon called Endor?
Kaiju Curry House.
Because I'm just wondering, are Pokemon Kaiju?
They are pocket monsters. They are pocket monsters, Paul.
They're monsters,
yeah,
aren't they?
They are yokai, officially.
Yokai?
Yeah, so...
What's a yokai?
Screen Heroes.
If the MCU gets that, then I really think that Space Jam needs to be part of the DCEU.
Yes!
Okay, because...
They have a big Marvel versus DC crossover where Air Bud takes on Space Jam. Man, we should write for these companies.
That's what it comes. It's Air Bud versus Bugs Bunny. That's what it's right. All come down to.
One-on-one.
Yes, done. All right. And then, like, at the end, it's Galactus versus LeBron James.
And Squirrel Girl wins.
Red shirts and runabouts.
Something we've talked about before, and other people have, but there's so much of real-life history involved with Star Trek. From Gene Roddenberry's days, his time in the military as a bomber pilot, as a bomber crewman, you know, James Doohan serving, all these people and all these real life events that have impacted things. That's very realistic of political and military leaders kind of resigning in protest at a decision they can't control.
Subscribe today at heroespodcast.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Podcast Addict, and more.
All right, so we are back, and we are talking about Disney and the Big Bad Mouse. Now, Ray, this was your idea for a topic, so why don't you tell us what you had in mind?
So the whole reason why I pitched this as a topic is because very often Disney is in our news segment, and we all have conflicting opinions about Disney as a company. You know, clearly they own some of our favorite properties, and we give them money on almost a monthly basis. But
well, definitely a monthly basis ever since Disney Plus came out.
Yeah, really.
But at the same time, now, you know, we have concerns and gripes, and they're not the most ethical company. They never have been, even from the beginning. So I just thought that we'd have a nice back and forth about how it's almost impossible to boycott this company, but we still, you know, push our convictions aside sometimes to participate.
Well, it's difficult. Right. I think for me, and this is something we've talked about before on the show, I think the difficult thing for me is, and I'm sure for all of us, is we love film and we love television and we love a lot of these characters that have now finally made it to like legitimate big productions. And Disney, as they continue to purchase companies, right? If you look at the last couple of decades between, you know, starting really with Pixar more than anything else, Pixar, Jim Henson, Lucasfilm, 20th Century Fox, most of Hulu is owned by Disney at this point as well. It is difficult to avoid them. And I think this number is really important. So for the 2019 box office, if you look at last year's box office, Disney by themselves, not counting 20th Century Fox, accounted for 33% of the U.S. film market by themselves. If you include 20th Century Fox, which they now own, that goes up to 38%. Second place is Warner Brothers with 13.8%. That's a pretty big gap. You know, so that means that you need, what, 2.5 Warner Brothers just to catch up to Disney? And then everyone's below all of that. And so that means when you go to the movies and you want to see a movie, you want to take your kids to a movie, you want to go out with your friends to a movie, a date, whatever, your odds of seeing something that isn't Disney are just lower. Because mm-hmm. Disney's taken over everything. They've purchased all the IMAX screens for Star Wars, or they've taken up all the good release dates and other movies have had to push to January and February to avoid, you know, the next big Marvel flick. I know, Ray, you've got a list of like some of the biggest.
Well, there are $46 billion movies out there so far, and Disney has over half of them. Actually, it'll be easier for me to just count the ones that aren't Disney.
But you know, this was something I was concerned about when they discussed the 20th Century Fox purchase, the acquisition.
So 30 of them are Disney films.
30 of the 47.
30 of the 46.
46, excuse me. 30 of the 46. I mean, that's pretty rough.
It is. It definitely, if I had to be in the Supreme Court and judge if this is a monopoly or not, I'd say yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the real concern, right? And when... So the way like kind of movie theaters work, right, is production companies essentially rent out the space at the movie theaters, for lack of a better term, to put their movies in there. And the more control a company has over the movie market, the more weight they can throw around. For example, back when The Hateful Eight came out, Tarantino wanted to use specific types of cameras to show his film in 70mm. It's not a common camera anymore. And Disney was purposefully positioning films in areas in California to push out the use of those cameras by Tarantino's film. It was a big deal. This is because Disney can then say, well, if you don't do that, we'll just pull our other movies from your theater and we'll just, you know, not have them there. And of course, if you're AMC or you're Cinemark or whoever, that's kind of a scary prospect.
Yeah, the smaller movie houses, the indie ones, can totally do that. Not a big deal. But the bigger ones, that's huge.
And then when you're an indie film, you know, how do you compete? How do you compete with...
You don't. That's why they're going to Netflix and Hulu now.
And they're finding a lot of success there.
They absolutely are. They're getting nominated now.
And I think that helps. That certainly helps.
But now Disney's taking that over too. You know, that whole Disney Plus and Hulu are probably a huge, huge percentage of the streaming population there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you see like the first major production Disney puts out is The Mandalorian, which looks as good as anything on TV, let alone, you know, stuff that's being put in theaters. So I guess the question is, like, how do you compete with that at this point?
Well, they're giving huge budgets to, you know, they have Marvel shows on there that characters are transitioning from movies to shows and then probably back to the movies, and they're giving them movie budgets to produce these shows. You know, what was Mandalorian every episode?
I don't know per episode. I know that the total for the first season came out to $120 million.
So that's a movie.
Which it was slated for 90 originally. And yeah, I mean, yeah, there's plenty of movies that don't even get that kind of budget.
Exactly.
You know, now if you compare it to similar shows, so the first season of Star Trek Discovery was $90 million for 15 episodes. And then the Lord of the Rings show that's in production for Amazon, which has 24 or 26 episodes, so it's much bigger, is $200 million, just for some perspective on that. So, I mean, shows of that quality are certainly more expensive than they used to be.
Yeah.
So, well, and they can look more like their cinema counterparts, and that's what Disney is trying to do. Is they're trying to go, okay, well, the Star Wars fan that just saw Rise of the Skywalker or whatever in theaters, they're going to go watch The Mandalorian, and we want them to have a seamless experience. So it's going to look, it needs to look exactly the same. And I'm sure the Marvel movies are going to be the exact same cinema quality as you're watching it, except now you're getting 4 hours or 6 hours or however many hours of these characters on Disney Plus versus a movie that, you know, and they don't have to deal with the theaters at all. They can just have it straight to your living room, mm-hmm. and, you know, bypass the middleman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where do you want to go next with this?
Well, I want to talk about a property Disney owns that they're actually failing with,
ooh.
Which is not very common for them. Obviously, the big ones are their animated and Pixar canon, their Star Wars and Marvel. But Disney has owned the Muppets since the 1990s, and they have not known what to do with them. They have pretty much screwed up at every turn, with the exceptions of their first movie, Muppet Christmas Carol, and the Muppets movie by Jason Segel. Other than that, it's been pretty bad. They don't know what to do with them in their parks, in the merchandise. They have failed TV shows.
Yeah, that weird, like, the workplace drama show that they did on ABC.
It wasn't good. It wasn't interesting. They implied that Miss Piggy and Josh Groban were having sex, and that was so awful.
Did you watch that at all, Ryan?
I did not.
It no. was
anything
like...
Anything since Jim Henson it was not involved is pretty much... other than the few exceptions that Rachel has mentioned that were actually good, has kind of, mm-hmm. I've not been interested in.
So like this, it's one thing like to make a low quality film or something like that. This show was like sad and depressing. Like it was a workplace drama with Muppets, and they, like Kermit and Piggy had like divorced and they hated each other, and like
yeah.
it was just like a sad, angry show,
and
but with Muppets.
The Muppets haven't been touched since. Except now they are just schlocking Facebook Portal for some reason. They're
oh yeah,
the
yeah.
Muppets are advertising for that, and that's a damn shame. Like all three of us absolutely adore the Muppets. We could do an entire episode based on our favorite Muppet films, and it's just bring back the variety show.
Well, didn't they announce that they're doing a sketch comedy show with Muppets or something
yeah.
for Disney Plus that then got canceled? Like.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I think it was supposed to be unscripted.
Is that what it was?
Which I feel like that's got to be pretty difficult for puppetry to be
yeah.
unscripted.
You can't do that.
You know?
Well, I imagine it would be something like Crank Yankers, where they would just like record something and then move the puppets to whatever they recorded. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So they're not doing it live with puppets.
That
guessing.
Does make more sense.
Yeah.
But
they canceled that, I'm yeah. pretty sure, yeah. like, shortly after they announced it.
No, I will say the new Muppet Babies on the Disney Junior, I think that's what it's called, is doing really well. Everybody loves it. We've seen a couple
episodes.
But is
it as good as the original Muppet Babies?
It's not. I don't think so. But at the same time, that could just be nostalgia talking.
It probably is.
Because I haven't seen... that show in a really long time either.
And it is CGI.
It's not on Disney Plus either, which is weird. You'd
no,
think they put
not.
That on there.
It's a CGI kind of similar to like what Nickelodeon CGI has started to kind of look like. It's weird. It's almost like they've reverted. It's not like, remember the reboot show?
Yes.
Right? It reminds me of that. It's cleaner, of course. It's more sophisticated, but it's almost like we took a step back on CGI to something that clearly looks fake on purpose.
So what do you guys want to see from the Muppets? I know both of you are fans.
I love the idea of doing a variety show again. I don't know why that would be a problem at all. I mean, we have all of these talk shows, you know, and I think that bringing on guests, celebrity guests, especially like the generation that's the main A-listers now, grew up with the Muppets like we did. And would like, could you imagine Chris Evans coming on a skit with Kermit or something like that? Like, it'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that I don't really have any specific ideas, but I feel like just giving it to a director that was a kid when we were and grew up with the Muppets, somebody that really cares and understands the property would be the way to go. I'd love to see something like, I don't even know if he's a fan, but Edgar Wright do something, do a full feature
or Jason
with the Muppets.
Reitman or
yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, can you imagine Edgar Wright and then he'd have Simon Pegg and Nick Frost come on and voice and just do like a buddy cop thing,
It'd
but
be amazing.
With the Muppets. Right, like they could. There's so much they could do with that, but just give it to a director. Let them have their vision with the Muppets. It's not whatever that thing was we got with Melissa McCarthy or was that who wasn't that one?
Well, that wasn't.
I know,
Muppets,
but it was the Henson Company.
Was it?
Yes.
It was the Henson Puppeteers. Yeah.
No, the current Henson that's running the show.
Right.
It was the Henson Company.
But Sesame Street sued over it. Aren't they all owned by the same company?
I don't have any idea.
Disney does not own Sesame Street. They do not own Dark Crystal or Labyrinth. They own Muppets and Fraggles.
Yeah, they don't own Henson Studios.
Yeah.
That's so
And
confusing.
It was Brian Henson. That's who it was. Yeah. He was like the executive producer of it, which that's why I hated the idea of that so much, because I didn't know Jim Henson, so maybe he would have loved it, but it didn't seem like something that was in his, you know, his...
When Sesame Street sues you, that can't be a good sign.
Right.
Right. I mean, something that's been a staple of children's television since the 70s.
Well, when you do a 45-second Muppet ejaculation joke in the trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, that just tells me right there it's not worth my time.
Well, what you were saying about giving it to a director that has a vision and passion behind it, I mean, that's exactly what made the Jason Segel movie so successful, is that he had this idea, he went with it, and he worked on it for 2.5-3 years. So,
and it's what's worked for Marvel. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's what worked for The Mandalorian. You know, Jon Favreau had a vision and he went in there and executed it. And if they just let somebody do what they're going to do and let them stick to their vision with minimal, you know, messing with it, then yeah, I think it'll be good.
Well, I think sometimes, because it's sometimes used as a derogatory term, but sometimes I think having a love letter to a franchise is a good thing and can revive a franchise.
For sure.
And the Muppets have had kind of a rocky time the last 20 years, 30 years, aside from those few examples we talked about. Maybe it's time, like, that was what was so good about Segel's, is it felt like a love letter to the Muppets, you know? And it was very similar in thematic style to, like, the original Muppets movie, right? So that should have been this amazing springboard. And you know, the sequel wasn't terrible by any means.
Yeah, Muppets Most Wanted just failed at the box office, but the critics loved it and people reviewed it really well. So.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not as good as the one before it. I think there was just some magic that Jason Segel brought to it. He has, sometimes you just have to have that special something.
Yeah.
You know, and he had it for that medium or that topic.
Yeah. What else do you guys want to talk about with this? I've got the Fox merger written out here. I've got all their previous scandals. I've got the most racist depiction since their inception.
Well, there's a wide range of topics.
Absolutely.
I guess the racism one is kind of interesting because they've started to do some more modern things to address the older stuff.
I also have that listed out here, the official press change that they put out.
So what I'm referring to here, so of course Disney has been around for quite some time, and there are some things that they made early on, especially prior to World War II and prior to our lives, that are just very, very offensively racist. There's no way around it. And there's a debate about how those things should be handled as far as access is concerned. Should they just be locked away and destroyed like they never existed, or should we frame them in a way that is deemed appropriate,
contextual to the era? Yeah,
right.
And they
so
have
we don't
done
forget.
Both
and they, yeah and so why don't you tell us a little bit about what their strategy has been?
Okay, so once they launched Disney Plus, all of the ones that were racially insensitive had a disclaimer at the beginning that said that this was a reflection of the time, and it was insensitive then, it's insensitive now, we're not going to edit it, but here is your warning. And a lot of people thought that was a great move. Other people thought that was really, I guess, just kind of sweeping it under the rug. But I don't know what the correct answer is.
There isn't a correct answer. Yeah. I mean, no matter what you do, somebody's going to be irritated one way or the other, and yeah. you're not ever going to please everybody with whatever you do.
I mean, that's certainly true, but I think if you look at it just from like an ethical, historical standpoint, it is important to not forget history because, you know, we're doomed to repeat it. That's the cliche, right? And Disney has done some good things. They've done some bad things. I think it's important for them to not forget who they are, who they were, where they came from, and the mistakes they've made along the way to help correct those mistakes and avoid them in the future. Disney is in a special position where they have an enormous amount of money and exposure and influence on our culture to steer things in a positive direction.
But is Disney Plus the place to have things that are racially sensitive? I think that they can still have that responsibility to society and by having those things available for people to watch, but I don't think Disney Plus is necessarily the right platform for something like that.
I mean, I think that's fair. I think the unfortunate alternative is if you put it somewhere else, then you kind of put it behind like a separate paywall.
But you don't have to do that.
Unless you just release YouTube them for free somewhere. YouTube is not a paywall.
Okay, I mean, or there's any number of video streaming sites.
I mean, that's an interesting thought. I had not really thought about that. You could totally, like,
you could give it to the Smithsonian lose, right? or something to be, like, a display of...
To be archived.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that's a good idea. I like that. That makes a lot of sense. I didn't really think about them just putting it up, like, for free streaming somewhere.
Yeah, everybody can learn for it. They will learn from it then.
Yeah. No, I like that idea. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I don't know. Honestly, part of me has blacked out some of that stuff. I enjoy Peter Pan, and then I'll like go to watch it and get really upset at the "What Makes the Red Man Red" song, and or I like Lady and the Tramp's one of my favorite ones, and then the Siamese cats are so racist. Like, it's basically Mickey Rooney and Breakfast at Tiffany's. It's buck teeth and bad English and just ton of stereotypes. So,
but hey, at least you can watch the new live action version, which is really freaking adorable.
It was really cute. But Disney was making racist things even in our day, you know, like the Little Mermaid. Tons of people believe that Sebastian, who was played by someone who was not Jamaican, doing a really shitty Jamaican accent, was incredibly racist. And there's a scene in Under the Sea where they specifically say the blackfish sings, and then they show a very iffy blackfish. And
then, so I've only seen The Little Mermaid one time, so I don't remember it very well.
And then, of course, Aladdin, the original lyrics that the merchant sings, where, you know, they'll cut off your hand if they don't like your face,
and then it's barbaric, but hey, it's home is the original line, which they've now replaced.
Yes.
If you were to stream it or watch it on a Blu-ray or of course the live action version, none of that's there,
right?
Which I mean, that was probably a good decision.
And then a lot of people also had problems with the villains being very stereotypical Middle Eastern people, but Aladdin and Jasmine being very white. Their features were white. Their voice actors were white. So it...
Well, the white voice actor thing was very common. Most of the Lion King cast from the original cartoon version, most of them are white people.
Absolutely. Right?
You have James Earl Jones, of course, but...
And Queen Sarabi was...
Mm-hmm. But that's basically it. I mean...
You have white people or a white person doing most of the music for the original, too.
Yeah.
Phil Collins, right? Or isn't that...
And Elton John.
It wasn't Phil. He did Tarzan.
That's what it was. Yeah. Sorry, I got confused.
No, you're good. But yeah, it was Elton John and Tim Rice, and you know, even their Swahili lyrics to "Circle of Life," it sounds beautiful, but it's a lion. Hey guys, it's a lion. Like, it's not very deep. You can tell they didn't consult anybody.
Even though there's a lot of people that speak Swahili, and it probably would not have been difficult to have a consultant on for
they
that.
They paid to have real life lions and zebras on. For the animators to watch, but they couldn't pay for the Swahili translator.
Priorities. Well, Disney doesn't have all that much money in it.
But it is a concern, and I appreciate that they want to do better. I think it's important that they want to do better, because the people that are there now, the animators that work there now, the voice actors today, the directors today, most of them are not the same people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
they should not be blamed for the sins of Disney's past. That's not fair. They're just trying to work.
And
but Disney will fire a director if he has done something wrong in his past before he worked for Disney.
But he's back now, so it's fine.
Is it fine, though?
Not to go on too much of a tangent, but the latest is they didn't know he signed on with Warner Brothers to do the Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. So they just do zero homework when they hire somebody.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just found that really
no,
funny.
No, you're good. I'm keeping up with Super Tuesday. I apologize. I'm getting messages every time.
Anyway, so yeah, I appreciate that they want to do better, and I think it's important that they do.
But I mean, they have completely scrubbed a lot of this stuff. Anything pretty much before Peter Pan has been completely scrubbed from their, you can't find it. You know, Dumbo's there, but...
Which the crows are a significant issue in Dumbo.
They absolutely are.
I don't remember anything else off the top of my head from that movie, but...
No, it's really
what year
just
was Fantasia?
Crows.
I remember watching
Fantasia
that as a kid.
Fantasia was 1940, and...
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Sunflower
I was like,
Centaur.
That was not my childhood then.
Yeah, Sunflower the Centaur was a huge issue.
Yeah, that one's the one I've
that she was seen. Edited out. Yeah. And of course the biggest one is Song of the South.
Which I really only found out about relatively recently. I had never heard of it or seen any of it. I had no idea what it was.
When I was a kid, my mom bought me a ton of sing along Disney stuff. They were VHSs with just random snippets, and that's how I knew the Zippity Doo Dah song. And I always knew that Splash Mountain was the Br'er Rabbit Song of the South stuff, but that was it. And I didn't learn that what it was actually about until much later. And it is a really crappy story.
Some of the stuff I have no idea what you guys are talking about, to be honest.
So,
but...
Song of the South was a live action and cartoon movie starring a man, a character named Uncle Remus. And it focused on the southern fables of the Br'er Rabbit, Br'er Fox, and Br'er Bear. Very common fables down south. And basically, Uncle Remus and his wife were freed slaves that had enjoyed slavery and were telling
already a problem
was telling the little white boy whose family used to own them that they enjoyed it and they enjoy staying there and they're going to stay there forever. And it was horrible on screen. It's horrible off screen. He wasn't even allowed into the theater for the premiere because of segregation at the time, and Disney didn't stick up for him. They didn't insist.
Well, and didn't he basically not get paid? I forget the specifics.
What year did this come out?
Let me look here. I think
our generation. What era?
30s.
Okay, so this is very very old.
Was it later?
It's 1946.
46. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, so this was after World War II. Okay.
It was. Yeah.
That's even more shocking, actually, given everything that they theoretically learned by then, but
apparently they didn't learn.
But yeah, but he was basically not paid. He was he was paid something, but he was totally ripped off, and it was not like what it was originally agreed upon, or he was very taken advantage of.
Being the actor,
James Baskett.
It was a bad situation, and I guess I didn't even know that movie existed until a few years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't know until a few minutes ago. So,
well, they completely got rid of it. The last release of it was actually on Laserdisc.
So I'm sure it's on the internet somewhere to watch.
Most likely, ripped it. It's somewhere on the internet, to be completely honest. I know you can find the scene for Zippity Doo Dah, because if you just take that one scene, that's not problematic at all. That song is beautiful, and it's beautifully animated.
And I knew the song growing up. I don't know where I heard it, but I knew that song.
Right.
Even though I didn't know there was a movie attached to it.
Well, there are so many 1930s and 40s musical songs that I had no idea were actually from a musical. It just, you know, the good morning, you know, it's from a musical. Anyway.
So, I mean, that's obviously problematic. Disney's got that long history. Disney also has kind of the disadvantage / advantage of being older than most of the other companies that are making movies today. And so they have a catalog that goes back well before most others do. And so, you know, They have to decide what to do with it.
Their old stuff is problematic, but I mean, even recently they've had problems with, like, when the Fox buyout happened, they got rid of how many people from Fox?
10,000 people lost their jobs.
10,000 people. And I mean, when businesses do things like this, that's expected an extent, but 10,000 people is a lot.
Well, right. And I know we definitely talked about that specifically when it was happening, because everyone was so excited that, yay, Marvel got the X-Men back.
And Fantastic Four. Woo.
And look, great. I'm happy for you that we're probably going to get another X-Men movie. Like, that wasn't going to happen anyway. But, a lot of people lost their livelihoods over it. And at the same time, what's unseen is, again, this massive powerhouse owning essentially 40% of the film market is only going to cause more problems. When Marvel's putting out 4 movies a year and then they're tying them in to TV shows, which, didn't really work with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Defenders. But now, like, WandaVision's going to tie into Doctor Strange 2. We know this for a fact now, right? And
most likely something else, didn't I say? Oh, no, Loki's also going to tie into Doctor Strange.
Right, so
the other way around.
If you don't sign up for Disney Plus and watch WandaVision and Loki, is Doctor Strange 2 going to make any sense to you? So now you're asking more money from people, more time from people, more investment that they have to take away from something else, for something from a smaller production or another streaming service or what have you. And we've kind of gone backwards, where we had a big cable package, everybody wanted to just pay for what they wanted, and now we're all paying for half a dozen different streaming services because if I want to watch Star Trek, I have to have CBS, and if I want to watch Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I have to have Disney, and then The Witcher is over here on HBO, Watchmen's on HBO,
DC Universe,
yeah. Right, exactly. And so now we've gone in that direction, but Disney has the money to push people and say, if you don't watch ours, movie's not going to make any sense. And if you don't see the movie, everyone's going to be talking about the movie and it'll be spoiled for you. So
look at The Mandalorian. I mean, you couldn't even, the episode would be out for less than 3 hours and there'd be spoilers in the headlines of articles popping up. So if you didn't watch it immediately, then you were probably going to get it spoiled for you.
That's so, the power that they have now in just the culture.
Yeah.
So
everybody feels forced to watch it as soon as they possibly can and take this content in. And, it's a huge power.
And the more they connect this stuff, ticket prices aren't cheap. It's, for a family of four, it's easily $50 just to go see a movie without any candy
easily.
Or anything.
I mean, chances are it's going to be more than that.
Right. So, that's $200 just to see the Marvel movies, right? Let alone anything else that you might want to see that's coming out. I think it creates a market where people only want to make $1 billion films. So Simon Pegg has been talking a bit about the state of the Star Trek film franchise and the fact that this fourth film has kind of been like back and forth, kind of in development hell.
Will they, won't they?
I mean, basically, yeah. I mean, they talk about, Tarantino's gonna do one, and then it's gonna be this other thing. And his big thing was basically, look, Star Trek isn't Marvel. Star Trek's not gonna make $1 billion, and so the studio may not even want to bother. And if that's where we start to get to as well, to compete with Disney, every movie has to make $1 billion to be a success. That's a big problem, because then you're not gonna get anything small. Because even a film that costs $50 million, it makes $500 million. It's not a billion. It's not a billion, right? And is that worth talking about? We talk about how, a superhero film that makes $800 million, well, was that really a success? That's ridiculous. That's how we have to talk about movies now.
Yeah.
Hell, people were saying that Endgame underperformed because it didn't beat Avatar.
So they re-released it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a dangerous trend, right? That's what everything has to be a connected universe. Everything has to be sequels and team ups to hit that mark, get every person possible coming to your movie. And that's because you have to compete with Disney, because Disney is 40% of the market. Mm-hmm. It's a big issue. I think that's the biggest problem for the industry moving forward, is how do you sustain that?
It's a
good question.
It's a bubble. That's either we're all going to get sucked in and they'll own even more studios, or it will burst. Something will fail. Something big's going to fail. Marvel or Star Wars? will fail. And I have a feeling it might be Star Wars movies.
Well, they already kind of have. Yeah. I mean, these last couple movies have not done as well as they anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it hasn't been a flop or anything. No. But it's been pretty low for what they expected. So, exactly. You know, they're already on that record. But then The Mandalorian turned out to be awesome, and everybody's exactly. talking about it and had all kinds of records. So, you know, it's not going to turn them off. They're going to keep doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. They're saying Yoda is going to be in season 2 of The Mandalorian somehow, even though he's dead.
Watch it.
Apparently, Force Ghost Yoda is going to be in season 2. So, you know, they're trying to make it connect now. The whole thing was that it didn't really connect.
Right.
Now it's like, oh, let's make it connect because then we can do some other stuff.
Because then they can sell toys with Yoda and Baby Yoda exactly. hanging out together.
Oh my God, I'm going to buy them all.
All the little Yodas.
Such a sucker.
But it's true. Like, that's what we get. We get excited about those things. And, you know, some of that's on us to decide what we want to consume, right? But at the same time, you know, it's entertainment. That's mm-hmm. the whole point. We go to the movies to be entertained, and whether that's because you want to be scared or sad or excited or whatever, that's what you're going for, some type of escape from your daily routine. And we want the best bang for our buck, and the question is whether or not we're going to continue right. to get that.
So obviously we didn't talk about a lot of stuff regarding Disney, and we just don't really have the time. So maybe there will be a sequel episode like next year, because we didn't even touch on the fairy tale and princess controversy that's come up over the years, or the ethical treatment of their employees at parks around the world, or their studios. So, you know, there will be more conversations. But
Revenge of the Mouse, episode 5.
The Mouse Strikes Back.
Love it.
It'll be the darkest of the three.
The mousening.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
Do you want to take us out?
All right. Yeah. So that'll be it for us. Some housekeeping things. So just a quick reminder, we have a new forum on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/screenheroes. Come talk movies with us. We'll have polls and other conversations. If you're not on Facebook, you can hit us up at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter. One thing that we are considering doing. So we have Planet Comic-Con coming up here in a couple of weeks. We have a panel scheduled for Friday, March 20th at 4:30. It is our MCU tournament. It's audience participation. So come out and see us for that. And we are considering after that moving our live stream of these episodes to the Facebook group. Right now we do them on Twitch, and we have a little bit of viewership there, and we truly appreciate all the support from those people. And we just want to have as many people as possible be able to join us for these conversations. So if you have an opinion about that, please let us know. You can hit us up at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter, like I said, or in the forum. We are also at heroespodcasts.com. In our show notes is a link to our Linktree, which has everything that you need to subscribe to our show, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or any other number of places. If you enjoy the show and you have any thoughts about it, please consider reviewing us on Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts. It's still the number one place that people listen to shows. It's the number one place people listen to this show. And the more reviews we have, the higher up in the rankings we are when you search for things like Screen Heroes or movie podcasts. And so we would really appreciate that. If you do leave us a review, we will give you a shout out on the show. And if it's appropriate, I'll even read the review on the show.
If it's inappropriate, I'll read it on the show.
There you go.
Perfect. Perfect. Of course, you can find Ryan at Buster Props. And he will have a booth for Buster Props at Planet Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where yet? Did they announce that yet?
No, they have not given us a location yet.
And then Ray is at Siren Ray.
Oh my God.
Not at Planet Comic Con.
Yeah.
And then I am at the Star Trek Dude, and
maybe at Planet Comic Con.
We'll figure that. We're working on that type of stuff. So, that's us. We're Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us. Next week, we are returning to review our, it's an anniversary review of Constantine.
Yeah.
The Keanu Reeves Constantine for its anniversary.
You said Keanu very weird.
Did I? How do you say it?
I don't know.
Keanu.
I'm not saying that you say it like that all the time. I think it was just a catch in your voice.
Why are you putting so much emphasis on the H?
Keanu. Keanu.
Is there an H in there? Cool whip. All right. And I'm gone. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.